Come on, let's worship. Amen.
Let's stand up on our feet this morning and give him a great praise. Amen. Yes, Lord. Somebody say, he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm.
Rise. Death is defeated, for the King is alive.
louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Oh, sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelievers.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind.
that's when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Which I am saved. Capture me.
follow you. I will follow you.
Come on, let's hit the hands up and just tell him that they say, I need you, Lord. I need your presence, Lord. You are the mighty rock on which I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. You're the mighty rock on which I stand. You're the great, the great, the great I am. You're the mighty rock on which we stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. You're the great, you're the great, the great I am. You're the great I am. Greater you, Lord, greater you, Lord. Oh, great are you, Lord. You're the great, the great I am. And all of the ground is sinking sand. You're the rock on which I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand.
Just tell him you love him out of your spirit this morning. Come on. Just begin to lift up his name. Just tell him you love him.
We love you, Jesus. We love you, Yeshua, Messiah, King of all kings, yes you are. We love you, Yeshua, Messiah, yes you are. Oh, how we love you, Lord. How we love you, Lord. How we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Yes, we do. Yeshua, we love you. Yes, we do. We will bow to only you. Yeshua, we love you. Yeshua, we love you. Yeshua, we love you. Yeshua, we love you, we love you. Yes, we do. Yeshua, we love you. Yeshua, we love you. Yeshua, we love you. Yes, we do. Yeshua, we love you. Yeshua, we love you. Yeshua, we love you. Oh, yes, we do.
I love you.
loves you, church. For no greater love is this than a man would lay down his life for you. That a man would lay down his life for his brother and his sister. I love you, says the Lord. I love you, my bride. I desire to be close to you, says the Spirit of God. I desire to walk with you, to talk with you, to instruct you in my ways. Put your trust in me, saith the Spirit of the Lord, and I will lead you and I will guide you in the pathways of righteousness for my name's sake. Put your trust in me. Believe, only believe, says the Spirit of God.
Said, what can we do to make a church grow? And they took a poll, and people said, well, we don't want anything that makes people feel uncomfortable. The moving of the Spirit that you just witnessed, they said, we don't want that. We want that hush-hush, and we want people to feel out of place if they do it so that they can be moved to another room. They did, and you can shut it down. A pastor, a congregation can shut the moving of the Spirit down if they choose to. They sure can. There's ways to do it. Well, they went by that rule, they went by this rule, and they went by that rule. And guess what's happened to the body of Christ? Weak, anemic, no power. I wouldn't trade that for anything in this world. For God to step aside and to move the curriculum over and say, hey, I love you, that's worth everything. And you say, well, is that kind of dramatic? Let me tell you what is dramatic. It's dramatic when you have House speakers tear up speeches of presidents. And I'm just saying that was pretty dramatic. I think this world is pretty dramatic. When people won't let you enter a restaurant unless you're vaccinated, to me that's pretty dramatic. And I know I'm getting a little political here, but listen to me. There's a lot of drama going on outside these doors. So this, if you call this drama, then I'll take this drama any day over that drama. Amen. Amen. Billy, if you'll come, I just thank God our church will allow the Spirit of God to move. Thank God. Tell me something good that happened this morning.
Tell you something good that your daddy said this morning, and I would like for him to have said it, but I didn't think he would. Right. Anyway, I was telling him how glad I was to see him, and he said, I am just so glad to be here, because he said, you can watch it from home, but it's nothing like being here. He said, it just makes my day, the rest of my day.
That's precious. That's precious. Thank you so much. I love you. Amen. And I think he said something to Laura Lee, too. What did he tell you?
I said, good morning, Mr. Robertson. It's so good to see you. How are you? And he said, I'm alive.
Good. Amen. Amen. And he will be, you can cut the lights, he will be 90 years old, December 2nd, same birthday as Alan. So isn't that something? I honor him. He's really shown me the way. And you know, it's kind of flip-flop. It's like he's showing me the way now in his later life. Maybe even, he showed me the way all the time, but even now I see things even in a deeper way of what he's showing me and still teaching me, still teaching his child. Amen. By being faithful. All right, you may be seated. Ushers, if you'll come.
Thank you.
God is good. Somebody say all the time. Praise the Lord. And best place to be on planet Earth. Amen. And this morning, last week, I know I went home and watched, live stream, wanted to listen to Barry's song. And it wasn't on. It was just him mouthing words. And so I told him, I said, I want you to do that again this morning. And so we're going to worship the Lord with him. That the song, The Inventor. Amen. So as we do, I want us to pray right now before he starts. And we're going to ask the Lord to just move, because I'm going to get right into this after he gets done, okay? Father, we thank you today for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for your precious gifts. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful for all the things you have already done this morning. We ask you to come and move in the midst of us in the way that you want to. We invite you to have your way. God, we just say, Lord, we need you. Help us to get out of the way. And Lord, allow your river to flow. We thank you today, Lord. We pray for every individual that needs a healing touch today. We speak life over them. Those that are traveling on vacation, God, we just speak peace over them. Ask you to refresh them, renew them. And Father, we pray today, protect them most of all. And Father, we give you thanks today for your word. And Holy Spirit, have your way today. We say we desperately need you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. You may be seated this morning. Let's worship together.
My father was the inventor of everything that is and ever was. He named each star in the universe and breathed life into a handful of dust. Didn't all just happen one day with a big bang like some folks say? He spoke and the world started spinning. My father was an inventor. From the highest mountains to the deepest sea, his fingerprints are on everything. Brilliant shades of red testify against the sunset sky, the way the moon, the oceans, and the wind play together to bring another tide back in. My father was the inventor of everything that is and ever was. The silver coins to betray the king, the Judas kiss in Gethsemane. He even made a way for the lost, iron for the nails, the tree for the cross, the perfect lamb to save every sinner. My father was an inventor. From the highest mountains to the deepest sea, his fingerprints are on everything. Brilliant shades of red testify against the sunset sky, the way the moon, the oceans, and the wind play together to bring another tide back in. Yeah. All creation seems to say, look at the masterpiece my father made. From the highest mountains to the deepest sea, his fingerprints are on everything. Brilliant shades of testify against the sunset sky, the way the moon, the oceans, and the wind play together to bring another tide back in. My father was the inventor of everything that is and ever was.
Woo. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our hymn books today to 2 Kings. Everybody saying, well, it is. The book's all about him, isn't it? That's right. Somebody say it's a hymn book. It's a hymn book. So you thought I made a mistake, and I got you. Amen. And let's do stand to honor the word today. 2 Kings chapter number 13, verses 14 through 17. We're going to talk about taking action under unction. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, or Jehoash, either one of those names is correct, the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows, and he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hadst consumed them. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Everybody say, take action under unction. In every age, we find that God is truly alive. Even though reports of some say God is dead, the very fact that you got up this morning tells me that he is alive. Somebody say amen. I love what the book of Malachi says in chapter number 3, verse number 6. He says, I am the Lord, and I change not. And then in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in changing times and seasons, I need to know that I can be anchored to that which is unmovable and unchangeable. And that is the truth of his word. Somebody say his word. The word is unshakable. The word is the foundation on which all things unshakable stand. God's going to shake everything. But how many understand that Jesus said, the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word. Everybody say his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word, everybody say his word, shall not pass away. I think so often we forget that, especially in the midst of junk that goes on, and we see everything that happens, and we say, God, where are you? What's going on? Is that he said, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my word will not pass away. My word will not pass away. They may burn the book, but the word will live on. You see, you can't get this from me because I've got it in here. Somebody say, I have it in me. I have it in me. Everywhere I go, he is with me. Listen to what Romans chapter number 8, verse 28 says. And we know that all things, everybody say all things, work together to the good of them that love God. Do you love God this morning? Do you love him? See, as we were singing this morning, the Spirit of God sang back to us, and Jesus said, I love you. Amen. You know, we used to do that cheer, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? I love Jesus. Oh, yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? I said, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? I love Jesus. Oh, yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Do you love him this morning? Do you love him this morning? Hallelujah. See, I love Jesus. How about you? I love him. I love him. I love him. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verses 7 through 9. So we're kind of just laying a little foundation here. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Did you get that? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. My God. So we forget about stuff like that. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Somebody look at somebody and say, I have a river in me. I've got treasure in me. I have this treasure in my earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of me. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. I said we are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Oh, my goodness. We ought to have about four people get up and run around the building. As Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse number 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I think I heard Jesus sing this morning, say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Matter of fact, I'm sure I heard the Holy Spirit saying that this morning. Amen. Everybody say, I'm more than a conqueror. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm more than a conqueror through him, Jesus, that loved me. I'm more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. So in every age and every time, what the scripture is telling us is that the church triumphant prevails. Everybody say, it prevails. Because no weapon formed against me is going to prevail or going to prosper. It doesn't mean that it won't be fashioned or formed. It means that it will not prevail. Somebody say, praise God. Now, I want you to keep in mind that your victory this morning, everybody say, my victory depends on him. Get this, get this. It's not what I know, how smart I am, how much school I got, the people I know, or any of that stuff. It's not where I live, what I drive. It's not anything else. It's who he is. It's him. Somebody say, it's him. It's him. It's him. So keep in mind this morning, our victory and our success depends on our hearing him. Uh-oh, we're getting ready to shift some gears now. And our obeying him. Yes, we're bought by the blood. We're going to heaven. Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that is about the greatest news that I think one can possibly have. But obedience is what guarantees you success and triumph in life. I can live every day of my life, be beat up by hell. The devil can stomp on my shoulder, tell me lies, oppress me. I can live in depress, have the blinds pulled, and I can feel worse than anybody else that I think that's in the world in which I live. I can live like that and still go to heaven in the end. Oh boy, I really got your attention. It's true. I can live in failure. I can live in poverty. But if I live in obedience to the word, the Bible says I will have a good success. And I'd rather live in obedience. What does that require? I must hear his voice, his instruction, that when he talks to me, that when I hear that word, that I act on it. Somebody say amen. Take action under unction. See, when I hear his word, I get an unction. So I'm going to take action on it. It is good. Listen to what Jesus said in the Revelation. Let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He said that 7 times in 2 chapters. Would you think that Jesus wanted us to get that? Hey, let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. Hey, let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. Hey, let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hey, let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. 7 times in 2 chapters, and you can read through those chapters really quick. And so you come out of it, and I think that what I should get is that Jesus says, let him that hath an ear, spirit ears, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And so one of the things that I hear Jesus saying to the church is good that know that he will never leave me and that he will never forsake me. And so I've said all of that this morning to get to where we want to go today. In 2 Kings chapter number 13, tucked away in antiquity, we find this truth that is animate, or one that inspires us to do the will of God. It's a story which involves one of the greatest men of God that ever lived, and that is the prophet Elisha. How many love Elijah, and how many love Elisha? Love to read those stories in the Bible and to see the supernatural power of God flowing through their lives. You see, Elisha had been used many times to deliver the nation of Israel, to bring deliverance to the people of God. And so in this story, we find the nation of Israel under great distress, humiliation by the Syrian army. Now, Israel was subjugated to them, to their harassments, to all that they had do, all that they had done. In fact, they had came into the outlying cities and they had begun to take them and they had begun to bring oppression to the people of God. How many this morning would like to get up and find out that China had invaded parts of the United States of America? How many would like it if you heard that Mexico had been overthrown or Canada had been overthrown and come under siege of the Russians and the Chinese working together and Iran working along with them? That would put you in great distress. And you would begin to say, oh my God, what are we going to do? Is that really true? Is that really on the news? It's sort of like 9/11 when you were watching that morning and you saw the planes hit the towers and the towers come down and you began to see what happened at the Pentagon and then Flight 93 that went down in the field. And we were thinking to ourselves, my God, is anything else going to happen? What is this? What's happening? Israel understood because of the word of God that God had spoken to them and said, look, if you follow me, I will fight your enemies. I'll curse those that curse you. I will bless those that bless you. I will fight your battles for you. I will protect you. So Israel finds herself in a compromising situation because of the Syrians that have risen up and coming against her, this formidable enemy that was threatening her. And so Israel was in a bad place. Everybody say a bad place. And to add trouble to the situation, their prophet, Elisha, the Bible said, was now sick and he was on his deathbed. So the scene opens with the king coming in to see this aged prophet. The king comes to visit him. And I want you to get this morning because this is a very uncommon thing for a king to come and visit a president. In fact, in the East, it was something that was almost unheard of, unprecedented, that a prophet or that a king would come to see a prophet, even if the prophet was sick, because prophets wait upon kings. Kings do not wait upon prophets. And so we began to see a side of Joash and a part of him that we know that God must have touched and stirred, or things that he had read or listened to in his past. And he's probably thinking to himself, I know we're in trouble and I know the Syrians are coming and I know what they want to do to the people of God and the people that I am king over. I know what the enemy is up to and I can do absolutely nothing. And the only hope that we have is that prophet Elisha is that he would receive a word from God and that he would speak to us in this hour and give us an instruction that we can take action, have God to say something to us, that we could just hear what he wants to say. Man, I want to tell you that in the midst of all the perplexities and turmoil that's happening in the nation in which we live, the gloom and the doom that our nation is going down the tubes in a handbasket to hell, and there's no hope and there's nothing that we can do, I want to tell you that it's good to hear the prophets prophesying and telling us that God is in the process of turning things around. If people will just listen to him and just do what he says to do and do not lose hope, but stand and pray. You see, I believe that revival's coming. I believe that awakening is coming and there can be some bad stuff that's on our way. But Listen, the world may be without food and the world may be without water, but as God said in the prophets when he spoke to his people, he said, but you are going to have food to eat and you're going to have water to drink and I'm going to take care of you. So I say, if the plagues and the pestilence and the famine and all the things that are out there are coming maybe into this nation, I want to say the people of God are going to shine in this hour like they've never shone before. I believe that great light is going to rise up out of the body of Christ. Listen to what I'm saying. Even though the world is in shambles, they've got to look out through that gross darkness that they're in as they try to find a way out and see a light at the end of the tunnel and see it shining bright and understand that is the church of Jesus Christ, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Come on, somebody. We're going to be preaching the good news of the gospel and we're going to be standing and telling them that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. We've got healing in our hands. We've got a word from God upon our lips. We have the life of God's river flowing through us. And everything that that river touches lives, my friend. God is just looking for his people, the many streams of his people, to rise up, come together, flow out like that mighty river that he intends for us to do and change the world around you. You must not live in fear, but in faith and believe that that's you that he's talking about today. That's a good place to praise him. And so here we find the king is coming in to see the prophet. It implies something concerning his character, something inside of him, something he heard his mother say, something he heard the priest say, something he has heard in the past. He's read the ancient stories of God's delivering power and has known the blessing of God upon the nation of Israel. And he comes in into this bedroom where the prophet Elisha is. And the Bible said that he walks up and I can see him as he begins to enter the room and he's thinking about his sinful life. And he's thinking about the sins of the nation. And he's thinking about the impending danger. And tears are running down his cheek. Because here's the man that can give a thumbs down and have people killed. Here's a guy that's sitting on the throne and knows that I can have food to eat if everybody else starved. I'm the king and I'm going to be taken care of. But yet he has enough concern to come into the room where Elisha is laying on his deathbed and come up with those tears flowing. And as he looks down upon him, I can just imagine the scene that's in the room. Elisha's a servant is probably there, and there are other attendants that are probably standing around. The king's armor bearer is with him, and the king's attendants are there as he comes in his royal robes into that place where Elisha is laying, and he stands there and he weeps over him. And these are the words that he says, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." He was giving a direct quote of what Elisha had said about Elijah at the beginning of his own prophetic ministry. Right before Elijah would be taken away in a fiery chariot and then be split asunder, he had poured water upon the hands of his master. And so as he's standing there, he's speaking those words because he knows that Elisha is going to recognize those words. What was he saying? "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." He's saying to him, "You're the one that's been the leader and the guide of Israel, that kept the fire going, that had life-giving words to give to us, that has delivered our nation time and time again. You're the one that has taken that nation of the Syrians before as they were coming against you as one man, you and your servant." And the servant got up early in the morning and said, "Oh, what are we going to do, Master Elisha? The mountains and the hills round about us are filled with the Syrian army. What are we going to do?" And you get up and you said, "Oh, don't fear, because what I see is the mountains and the hills are not, we're not surrounded by the enemy. We are surrounded surrounded by the army of Almighty God, horses and chariots of fire. My friend, it's good to know that you got to look a little bit higher and understand I may be surrounded by the enemy, but my enemy is surrounded by my God. Oh, the devil may rise up against us one way, but the Bible says that he will flee seven ways. I'm glad this morning that God is on my side, and that if he is for me, who can be against me? Glory to God. He is for us. He is not against us. He is with us. And he's standing there and he speaks these words over Elisha. He knows that Elisha remembers the day that when his master was caught away, how that mantle fell. And as he saw it coming down, he ran over and grabbed it, and he picked that mantle up and he folded it together and he smote that Jordan River, because this is what Elisha wanted to know. Elijah's gone. I gotta know something. Have I been following a vain dream, or have I been following the word of the Lord? I've gotta find out if I'm now a prophet or if I'm just a wannabe. And he picked that thing up and he smote the river, and the Bible said that it parted hither and thither. Somebody say praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm here this morning to tell you, you are a child of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. It's time for us to step out and pick up that mantle that Jesus left us, called the mighty Holy Ghost. Be filled with the fire of God and stand up and prophesy to the nations in which we live and say, Father, we thank you for awakening in America that's going to touch the nations of the earth. And then, Lord, this thing is going to wind up and we're going to be home with you forever. But we're not leaving here without kicking some devil butt and pulling down some strongholds. We're not going to leave here until we see the glory come down and the fire fall upon the altars of our heart once more, and we're turned toward you, Jesus. Oh, come on. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not time to be sad. It's time to get glad. It's not time to hang your head up. Lift up your hands, your feeble hands that hang down. It's time to give some praise to the Lord God. It's time to honor him. It's time to magnify him. I have the victory. Not gonna want it. I have it now. So we have the victory. We have it. See, he found out in that moment of time that the same God, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And God answered and said, I'm right here. Woo, man, I love that. He's telling him that back. It's what he's reminding him of in the Bible. And then all of a sudden, as he comes in, he doesn't say, Elisha, can you help the nation? Elisha, can you give us a prophetic word? Elisha, what is God saying? Elisha, what are we going to do? No, he just walked up and started weeping, and he spoke those words. And then all of a sudden, the Bible said that prophetic fire hit the body of Elisha that was supposed to be dying on a deathbed. And he got stirred by the Holy Ghost on the inside of him. That prophet's gift began to raise him up from that deathbed. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, God raises dead things up. Everything that the life of God hits comes alive. Somebody say, glory to God. Look at your neighbor and say, look, it's time that you got some life in you. In Jesus' name, the Holy Ghost of heaven is here. God's presence is here. God wants to do something in you and through you. And all you have to do is say, Jesus is in me of a truth. He's alive and well inside of my heart. Somebody say, hallelujah. Think this morning. The king is telling him. He's reminding him. And then suddenly the atmosphere changes. You know when the atmosphere changes. I said, you know, hey, listen, the atmosphere changed when I got up and got on my knees this morning. I said, my atmosphere changed when I got up and got on my knees this morning. My atmosphere changed yesterday morning when I got up and got on my knees. My atmosphere changes every day when I get on my knees. See, when they prophesied against Daniel and said, you can't pray in that God's name anymore, because if you do, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. Daniel didn't give up. He went and threw the window open east toward where the temple of God was. And the Bible said that he prayed. The atmosphere changed when Daniel prayed. It changed to the point that lions couldn't bite him. It didn't matter what word the king had to speak. Even though the king loved him and cared about him, the king had to keep his word. But Daniel said,
That lion cannot touch me unless my God allows that lion to touch me. And the word the next morning when the king went down to see if Daniel was okay, he said, "O king, live forever. The Lord has locked the mouth of the lion this night." Can I tell you that Jesus locked the mouth of the lion, that devil that goes around as a roaring lion 2,000 years ago? He has locked jaw when it comes to you. And the only way that he can bite you is if you begin to fear what the enemy speaks to you and you listen to the lie of him telling you how big and bad and great that he is. I want to tell you, I serve a great big God. There's a little bitty devil. The devil is under my feet. God is on the throne. Jesus is in control. There's an army of the Lord of hosts that's on my side and for me. And devil, you're a loser. You are a zero. You can never be number one or two or three. You are a zero, devil. Great big God, little bitty devil. Somebody say yes. And so the prophet gets filled with that inspiration, gets filled with that prophetic fire, and he rises up in the bed and begins to give a word to the king. It's like fiery, hot cinders. The same finger, fiery finger that wrote the Ten Commandments on solid stone, wrote a word on the lips of the man of God. Israel's defense. Listen, when he came in and prayed over him, "You're dying. You're dying. What are we going to do?" See, this is God saying him back to him again. Just like Elijah was taken from this earth, my purpose and plan didn't change. I just stepped over into somebody else with the same gift and anointing. Literally what he was saying is Israel's defense is not going to fail because her defense is not in a man. Her defense is in the God of heaven. Can I tell you today that with America, as long as we keep our God in heart and mind and understand, he is our defense. Not a missile system, come on. Not a bomber, not some kind of high-tech weapon, not AI, not any of that stuff. What protects us is an invisible force that's bigger than the universe. The God of heaven that has a steel punch that can kill the devil and wipe him out with a given word. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, isn't it important to understand that in the scripture, when nobody else could get a storm to calm because they had a little fear in them, that all of a sudden that one guy steps up, Jesus Christ in the flesh as a man, and looks out because he understands the principle. A word spoken that belongs to God is still living and alive. It never dies. And when I speak it, it's going to operate because I'm going to what? Take action under the unction, and I'm going to look at that storm because I've got a faith in me that says, lay down and shut up. And the Bible says that the storm calms. Somebody say amen. When the man is dead in the grave 4 days, somebody say, you got to take action under unction. Jesus didn't get in a hurry to run down to the cemetery because he was dead, even though his sisters were begging for him to come. Somebody said, you can never find a preacher when you want one. He waits 4 days. By now he's stinking. Somebody say, man, it does stink. When I look at the world, it stinks. Then I look at what's going on in America, it stinks. When I look in the White House, it does stink. When I look at the VP, it does stink. When I look in the Congress, it stinks. I don't care whether it's red or blue. When I look at those things, it stink. But I know somebody that can say, Lazarus, come forth. Can I say that there is a Lazarus generation that God is speaking to right now of nameless, faceless people that had nobodies and nobody's ever heard of them, that God has kept hidden in the shadows and has been grooming them, and he's raising them up because they're the preachers that are going to go preach with power and authority, and they're going to raise up a dead generation that doesn't even know the name of Jesus. They're going to pull down the strongholds of hell in major cities. Come on, somebody. They're going to shut down the occult. God is going to move, and revival is coming first, and then an awakening is going to happen. Somebody say praise God. I've got to believe. Somebody say believe. Lazarus, come forth. See, when you get that unction, you got to move. Somebody say move with the unction. Elisha, has a word in his mouth and he speaks with authority to the king. And he says, take a bow and some arrows. And the Bible says that he went and his attendant handed him the bow and the arrows. See, the king never carries his own stuff. He's got an armor bearer. Somebody say an armor bearer. It's bad when the king's armor bearer is not where he's supposed to be. It's bad. When the armor bearer doesn't show up, it's bad. Come on, somebody. When the armor bearer is doing an enemy's bidding. But thank God that the armor bearer was there when he turned around and reached out. The bow and the arrows were already being handed by the attendant, because when the prophet speaks, you need to move. Somebody say amen. He said, take bow and arrows. This word take is a word of action, man. You got to move then. When the Holy Ghost says to do something, do it now. Don't wait 20 days. Don't wait 30 days. Do it when he speaks. When the unction comes, that's the unction to function. Somebody say, yes, it is. When God speaks, that's the time to rise up in the energy and in the power of the Spirit of God and operate on that word that he gives. Now listen. So the king takes the bow and the arrow from his attendant. And Elisha speaks and says, okay, open the window eastward. That's the direction that your victory is going to come from. Your enemy is out there. I want you to understand that you take an arrow now and you shoot that arrow. So he opened the window. Man, this thing is so full. You could preach 3 or 4 hours just right here. What was he doing? He was opening the window of opportunity, the window of destiny. He was opening a window into another dimension, because listen, many people had gone to that window before and flung it open. It didn't have glass in it. It was just made of shutters and just a little bit of light could come through. And so they went, he said, open that window up. And when they did, the illumination of the light began to fill the room. God is speaking to us this morning. He's telling you to open the window of your soul up so that you can see the light and the glory of Almighty God. He said, open the window. He opened the window of another dimension. But listen, how many times probably had somebody looked out that window, maybe even the king or even the prophet Elisha, and saw nothing but hills, nothing but trees, nothing but groves, nothing but rivers outside the window. But see, the king saw something else the prophet saw something else in his spirit this time, because God was opening up a dimension to him. He said, I can see through the window, and what I see through the window is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, because God is going to give you victory over your adversary. He's going to take him out. You're going to consume them until you have destroyed them. This is what God is saying to you right now, Joash. He said, take that arrow. And he took it. And the Bible said that when he got in the archer position, that the prophet came over and he wrapped himself around him, put his hands upon his hands. And he said, you take the archer stance. Man, this is to show that, hey, what you're doing is not out of your flesh. It's not out of man's ability. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It was showing him that the ability, that what's getting ready to happen and the victory that your God is going to give you through this arrow is not anything that a man can do. It's something supernatural. It's going to be an effort of God and man, because the prophet stood for God. And so he goes and he puts his hands and he wraps himself around the king's body, and he takes that stance as an archer. And he said, I want you to shoot the arrow. And when he shot the arrow into the ground, that's when the prophet cried out, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, the arrow of the Lord's victory, for you shall smite them in Aphek until you have destroyed them. Somebody say hallelujah. See, many times we do not understand it, but this word is filled with arrows. My God, I'm looking up here. I got 10 minutes. This word is filled with arrows right here. That word in his mouth was a sword to pierce through the powers of darkness. Aphek is a type of being held back, of being, it's an enclosure. It's a place of confinement. And he said, Syria's tried to confine my people. Syria is holding back my people. Syria is trying to keep my people from having a breakthrough. He's trying to keep them in a place of fear and torment. And he said, but I want you to know you're going to break out of this and you're going to run over top of that enemy, and that adversary is going to be defeated. Somebody say, praise God. I want to say the same thing today. You may not be able to see it with the physical eyes because you're a natural man and you ride up and down the highway, but you have a spirit on the inside of you that's reborn, that is godly. Somebody say amen. We are part of his offspring. We belong to him. And I have a God part inside of me, my spirit reborn where God lives, that I'm able to see more than the natural things that are around me. I can see more than this building. I can see more than your faces. I can see more than just looking out into the parking lot. I can see in the spirit today that God is reaching out and he's touching myriads of people, and that he's bringing them under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and that the word of God is going forth in the spirit realm, and strongholds are being demolished this morning even as the word is going forth. Somebody say hallelujah. You cannot stop the word. And so he prophesies. He shoots the arrow, and it goes, sticks in the ground. This is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And as we said last week, that any time that a nation is going to invade another nation, the king comes of his assistants and military officials, and they'll either throw a staff or an arrow and shoot an arrow into the ground, and they proclaim war on the other nation, and then they give a list of the reasons why they're going to invade. We told you that Jesus, somebody say Jesus. Jesus was put up on the cross, the stake, some people call it. You call it what you want to, up on the arrow. He was the pierced one. He pierced the ground. The very moment that Jesus went down into the ground, war was declared on the devil. Come on, somebody. What happened? Jesus hung on the cross, shed his blood for man's sin. He went down to the bowels of hell. He took the punishment of hell for us. But on the third day, somebody say on the third day, he rose again. What did he rise up for? Victorious over death, over hell, and over the grave. And I love this, because after he ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father, the Bible tells me that having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public display of that enemy openly. You have to get the imagery in your mind today. The devil is not sitting somewhere upon a throne in my life or in my mind. He is not the sovereign ruler over nations. My God owns the nations. My God owns the earth. My God owns the world. All the people belong to him, and he can do with them anything that he wants to. It does not belong to the devil. Somebody say amen. My God, he plundered hell. He spoiled it. How many has ever opened something that was spoiled? Did it smell good? No, man. He pierced the devil. He chained him up. He paraded him down before heaven, earth, and hell. He let every angel, every demon power see what he did. Jesus chained death, hell, and the grave and paraded them. He made a public spectacle of them openly. Somebody say praise God. So the Apostle Paul writes that he wants you to see the imagery in your mind. The devil is on the chain gang. Somebody say, yes, he is. The devil is on the chain gang. He's got a ball and chain connected to him. He is defeated. Psalms calls him in one translation a maggot head. He is wounded bad. He is sick. Come on, somebody. You never read anywhere in the Bible that they're hailing the devil because of the victories that he's won and how great that he is. But you're going to find out that Jesus put him in his place. And that is exactly what Jesus wants us to do. Quit living our lives like this is some big monster out here that has to be ripped apart. Listen, I know that people are martyred, and I know that people die from the faith, but if we could see what went on behind the veil when battles were taking place, any time that a martyr dies, you would see hell shred to pieces in the spirit realm. A person may shed their blood on this side, but I want you to know that they're pulling down the strongholds of darkness and doing damage to the kingdom of darkness that can never be rebuilt in Jesus' name. Somebody say hallelujah. Listen. Then Elisha said, okay, take the rest of the arrows and I want you to shoot toward the ground. He took his arrows out, the Bible said, and he took them from his attendant. He shot once, the Bible said. He shot twice. He shot three times. I'm a good aim. Let's see if I can get this, catch this joke. And the Bible said that he stopped. He stopped. We talked about this last week. He did not enter into the spirit of what God was giving. Oh, God, this is so important. You'll have to go back and listen to that again because I'm not going that way. But it's so important to enter into the spirit of what God is giving something with. If God tells you, I am going to take this enemy out and you'll never have to deal with him again. I don't know how you would respond. I say, excuse me just a minute. Hallelujah! Woo! Somebody say glory to God. I have to go crazy. I'd have to give some praise that's that twirling about and that hallel. I'd sing it. I'd give glory and honor and praise to God. But see, God made you with the, God made you with emotions to celebrate that stuff. Somebody say, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Now, the wording here is really important that he gives. Elisha had told him, he said, because you've only smitten the ground three times, you will only smite your enemy but thrice. Did you get it? Elisha, from his high standpoint and spiritual sight and vision, was able to see what God wanted to do. Remember, this king had just quoted to him what he quoted to Elijah. This king understood God was a supernatural God. This guy had heard the stories of the Bible of how God had defeated all the enemies and all the miracles that he had worked, and that the Syrians were absolutely nothing for God to take care of. Are you getting this? Man, this is so important. He had heard it. Yet now, he's emotionless. He's not getting it. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? God's promise was to the king is if you obeyed. Remember that word? If you obey, you will smite the Syrians and Aphek until you have consumed them. The word consume here comes from the Hebrew word that means to destroy. It means to vanish away. It means to bring to nothing. You will consume them. You will bring this about by a process to completion. Something that is completely added to until the task is done. Like 1, 2, 3. He said, no, it needs to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Don't stop until the process is completed. You'll get it. The total task, working until the job is done. Every arrow stood for one more step or victory in the process that God was giving. Elisha said, you should have smitten the ground 5 or 6 times. You had arrows left. Why did you stop with 3? Oh, listen to me. You see, our victory is not complete until the job is done. Our victories are sometimes instantaneous. How many love it when victory comes just like that? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Listen. But most of the time, they come through a process of being brought to completion. Elisha said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And this is important because not only is the word kaleh important in the Hebrew, where God says it's one step at a time until the victory comes. He said, but it's the arrow of the Lord's teshua, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. It's God's rescue. It's God's help. It's his assistance. How many have ever needed that? It's God's salvation. So God will assist you, is what he's saying, will assist you to bring victory. He's going to help you to win the victory through a process. So every prayer prayed is a process being brought to completion. Come on, somebody. Every meal fasted is a process of being brought to completion. Hello, somebody. Every promise confessed out of this word is a process of being brought to completion. Every time that I lift my hands and give thanks and praise, it is a process of being brought to completion. Every time that I prophesy or agree with a prophetic word that God has given to me over my life, and I'm prophesying that just like He gave it to me, it is a process being brought to completion. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Come on. I'm reminded of Pastor Dick Bunnell in San Jose, California years ago. And I told you, church, this, some of you back then wrote that church, "Come Down, Dark Prince." Larry Huggins, a prophet, was flying in to his church to do a conference. And Larry said, when he came and he landed at the airport, he went running up to Dick Bunnell and he said, "Look, I had a vision when I was flying in. I saw this giant dome over San Jose. And then I saw holes being blasted in this giant dome." He said, "I want you to know that God told me to tell you, whatever you're doing, don't stop doing it, because you're tearing down the major principality in this city. And God is going to give you great victory, but you cannot stop short of it. You got to keep strong, and you got to keep prophesying, keep praying, keep fasting. Whatever you're doing, don't let up, because you are about to pull this thing down once and for all." Hallelujah to God. Come on, somebody. See, God is telling us something this morning. He's telling us. He said, "Look, some of you have stopped a prayer short. Some of you have stopped a praise short. Some of you are failing to prophesy." He said, "Because you look at it and you say, it's not going to happen. Because number one, if you got it, you'll do it. You will take what has been given you by God, and you will move with the unction of that in your spirit." Come on, somebody. I learned a long time ago that you got to take the action when the unction is given, and you don't stop until you see the victory come. Come on, somebody. I am looking for victory. I'm looking for 500 strong in this people, in this house. I'm looking for revival. I'm looking for Patrick County to change, Henry County, Pennsylvania County, Floyd County. I'm looking for Franklin County. I'm looking for revival to come. And I know that it takes one prayer at a time, one fast at a time, one praise at a time, one prophecy at a time, and it takes everybody doing their part. We are no different than this king who didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, who was not born again, that was basically a heathen, who had read about what God can do. We get close, and then when we get right at the pivot place and we have a few victories, we think that's it. And then we don't understand. It's like Muriel Murillo said in his book, that dark night of the soul that comes, the disappointment, the pain, that darkness that begins to enter in, and the devil say, "You're not going to make it. Give up. Stop. I mean, you would have conquered by now." Oh no, honey, when you conquer, you'll know. I said, when you conquer, you'll know. See, that prophet saw, man, I could see it in his spirit when he saw the arrows flying. He saw number one. He saw number two. He saw Aphek getting his tail kicked. Come on, somebody. He saw the Syrians going down. And then he saw that one lowly arrow go out to number three and stop. And he looked around and he was waiting on number four or number five or number six, and it never came. And then all of a sudden, he did exactly what anybody full of the Holy Ghost and vision would say: "What is wrong with you? Get some vision. It's time to see. Because you're not seeing what I'm seeing. Your picture's different from mine. You've got what you're looking at. It's not what God wants to give." Not until the last snotty-nosed, teared-up person that comes weeping and wailing, crawling to the altar, bound by drugs and devils, gets set free by the power of Jesus Christ's name. When you see that last one come into the fold and hear the trumpet sound, you'll know that the end has come. But you can't stop. You can't give up. Know your scope, your place. You see, what prayer does, and confession does, and faithfulness does, what those things do is, I believe, energizes all of heaven. Energizes all of heaven. causes the river in me. Somebody say, the river in me to flow unhindered. God will do anything for you. He'll bankrupt heaven if it's possible. He would empty out the storage buildings of ears and eyes and noses and body parts and livers and kidneys and stomachs and, I mean, on and on and on. He would empty those rooms out. He would reach around in the cupboards where silver and gold and plutonium and everything else, mountains of it, to the person that gives. And he would throw it out in buckets full. But can he trust us with it? He wants to trust us to pray, to fast, to prophesy, to praise. He wants to trust us to stand in our post. Oh, my God. Doesn't it drive you crazy when you know somebody dies before their time? Doesn't it drive you crazy to see somebody that's hooked on drugs die from an OD? Doesn't it drive you crazy to see sex trafficking, to know that their baby sacrifice that goes on in Hollywood? Doesn't it drive you up? Doesn't it shake you in your spirit and move you? I mean, does it? What happened in Afghanistan? What happened in Benghazi? Doesn't that stuff disturb you? What about when ISIS is cutting off heads and limbs and you're standing there and you're watching the video from it and at the headline it says, it is graphic, you might not want to watch this. And they cut somebody's head off right in front of you and they cut their arms off. They murder individuals right in front of their children. They rape their wives in front of the men. Doesn't that drive you crazy in the spirit? I got up the other morning and I was praying over this thing, you know, again about the Christians that are often pray around the world that are persecuted and dying in the most heinous ways. And I'm laying there and I'm thinking to myself, this has got to be the most pathetic thing that I can do. I feel like Joash, you know, with just arrows, and I feel like I'm throwing them at the ground. God, what can I do? You said pray. Pray as if you yourself were in bonds. Well, I have enough sense to know that some of them are crying out, deliver me, God. And then there are others that are saying, anoint me to preach to these people that are my captors, that are persecuting me and that are cutting me and are hurting me and want to murder me and have murdered my family. Anoint me to preach Christ to them that they may turn to you and that they may find life in the Son of God. That is the ultimate defeat of the devil, my friend. And I'm kneeling there at my altar that I get at every day and I'm praying and I'm thinking to myself, this is so pathetic. I feel so powerless. I feel so helpless. And I prayed with the unction of the Holy Ghost and I prayed over their lives. I prayed everything that I could think to pray. And it's like I can hear the Spirit of God saying, you're doing your part. You're pulling down the stronghold. He said, I've chosen to deliver some of them. Some I will snatch away, rapture away and put them in a safe place. Others will escape because they'll be blind. Their enemy will be blinded and they'll walk right through them. Others will choose to stay and be martyred. He said, but when you choose to pray, you're rescuing tens of thousands of people because you take the time to pray. And I thought to myself, my God, this is a lot bigger than we realize. But I'm telling you this morning, my friend, there's not a stronghold in Patrick County, Virginia, in Henry County, Virginia, Floyd County, Virginia, Franklin County, Virginia, or in the state of Virginia that the body of Jesus cannot tear down. We are the people of God, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood of believers, that we should show forth the praises of Him who called us out of that darkness into His marvelous light. Because when we pray, I have the Holy Ghost. I have salvation. I have God in me. I'm not like Joash who shot three times and stayed. And God help the people that are emotionless, that are plastic, that are synthetic in their walk with you. And God, that they can't feel it. Father, may they be stirred up in the Holy Ghost of heaven today. May they come alive in you. May they understand. One more prayer I pray, maybe that stronghold will collapse. Because when I pray, hell is being disturbed. Devils are being cast out. The works of darkness are coming down. I pray, God, get a hold of this generation that's coming up right now. Lord, all the way to the Z generation. Move upon them. Show yourself to them. Show yourself alive, oh God. Introduce them to your power and to your presence in Jesus' name. Take action. Take action under unction. Take action under unction. You may not know what the unction's for, but the Holy Ghost will lead you right into it. You guys that are going witnessing, on Saturdays, I feel the Holy Ghost telling me, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. God says you're going to start seeing the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the lame walk. You're going to walk in to places, and some of them you won't even pray for. They're going to sober up that quick. Because the river flows out of you. The unction is on the inside. And today, we do not want to shoot three arrows and stop. See, symbolic acts done under a prophetic status are very powerful. Very, very powerful things. Who'd have ever thought you could put a candle in a pitcher and a sword in the other hand and stand up on a mountainside surrounded the Syrians? That was Gideon's army of 300. When the trumpet sounded, they busted the pitchers. The light came on. And the enemy turned upon themselves. I said the enemy turned upon themselves. I said the enemy turned upon themselves. I said the enemy turned upon themselves. And destroyed one another. That's what we're getting ready to see in America. Oh yeah, because you know why? I'm not going to quit praying. I may be one arrow away from my breakthrough for a nation that I love, that I have freedom in. And I'm saying communism, you're not having America. No, you're not. Socialism, you're not having America. In Jesus' name, no demonic power of hell that wants to subjugate us and rape us of our freedoms is going to reign and rule in this nation, not on the church's watch. We say in the name of Jesus Christ, no. Somebody say, no, we believe. For the rain of heaven to fall. So take your weapons of war. Go ahead and stand with me. Jennifer, come up. Take your weapons of war that God has given to you. The armor of God. Prayer, fasting, praise, prophetic words. Paul told Timothy, he said, that prophetic word that you got, go war with it. It wasn't given to you. I get so sickened by people that want to float around and look for some prophetic word in every service they go to. I'm like, what more, my God, do you need? Just do it. Just do what God said. Amen. And so it's right now. Everybody say right now. Right now. We, as God's people, want to take the arrows. Somebody say take the arrows. Take the arrows. And we're going to shoot until the quiver's empty. And we're going to say, more artillery! Load me again. And I'm going to keep shooting. And I'm going to keep shooting. And I'm going to keep shooting. And I'm going to have victory. Because I and you, we shall smite the Syrians until we have consumed them. We're going to do one arrow at a time until the process is brought to completion. And we're going to keep crying out, Teshua! Rescue! Salvation! Assistance from the King of Kings until it all comes. I can already see this happening. Every head bowed this morning. Listen. Oh my God. Holy Ghost, I'm asking you right now to move. I pray for that urgency to come alive on the inside of us, God. That, Lord, that we will not be passive with what you've given to us. God, but with everything within us, that we'll use it. Use it with everything within us. Expend all of our energy. Expend our time. Expend our finance. Expend ourselves extravagantly upon you, God. Lord, I pray right now for the refiner's fire to come and purify our hearts. That the river of God would be pure, not cloudy, not murky, not muddy, that flows out of us. That it will be unobstructed, unhindered. And Lord, today we right now make a decision to cast out of our river everything that hinders its flow, to cut loose everything, every person, and all that is, every voice, Father God, that's trying to break my focus. Listen, you can't stop praying. You cannot stop praying. You must not stop praying. You can't stop speaking the word. You can't stop fasting. You cannot stop. Because God is depending upon you. He gave you that gift. Don't you be lazy with it. This morning, if you are here and you do not know Christ, I want to give you an opportunity today to make Jesus the Lord of your life. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you are not sure you're going to heaven when you die, I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt today that you're born again. That your name is written in that book. If you need Christ, I want you to come. Secondly, we as believers, we want fresh fire. We want fresh Holy Ghost fire. We don't want any fear in our lives, any reluctance, no hindrance. We want an unobstructed flow of the power of God. For God to help us and anoint us with fresh anointing. Thank you, Lord. We'll wait on you, Jesus. We'll wait on you, Jesus.